Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
I think this is of the most important subjects that we can ever look at. I think it's a life-changing perspective shift if we get it. When we move from the concept of being a Christian and following the rules of Christianity to entering into a relationship with Jesus, who's the kindest person that's ever lived, and seeing how he defines that relationship and what he wants for us, from us, what he wants to do to us. I mean, it's an unbelievable lottery winning. And so this morning, as we talk about Jesus' invitation to friendship, my focus really today is prayer. And, you know, many of you guys know this, but any relationship in our lives, the foundation of that relationship is communication. And so if you've got a best friend, if you're married, if you've got a neighbor, if you have a dog, the basis of your relationship with whatever person or creature that might be is communication. And that could be nonverbal. It could be, you know, high fives and, you know, glances. It can be English, it could be whateverlish, whatever language you speak. But the point is, without communication, there really isn't a relationship. And oftentimes, relationships are strained from there not being communication. And so it's the kind of thing that it's really a pretty simple human concept, and it's one that carries over into our relationship with the Lord in a really profound way. For some reason, when we talk to people, we call it talk. But when we talk to God, we call it prayer. But it's talking to God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is not mysterious. Prayer is the way that we have a relationship with God. And if we don't have a prayer life, I just want to challenge you, you probably don't have much of a life in God. That's not an accusation. It's just reality. If you don't have much of a prayer life, you probably don't have much of a life in God at all. Now, instead of looking at that and going, "Hey, he told me I don't got a life in God," well, fix it. Stop, tune me out right now and start talking to God instead of listening to me. And then boom, problem solved. It's really easy. I mean, the path is pretty simple. It's not mysterious. It's really a very simple concept. When your communication is strong in a relationship, the relationship is strong. And so you want to grow in that communication with the Lord. You want to grow in a life of prayer. And what I want to do today is I want to talk not about God as our Father, and He is. God as our Savior, and He is. I want to talk about God as our friend. Because we relate to a friend very differently than we relate to a boss, an overlord, a far-off deity. Oftentimes, even differently than we relate to our Father in this life. You relate to a friend differently. And I remember finding this. You know, it's not like it's a hidden mystery in the Bible, but I remember seeing verses about this and being struck with, wait a minute, this actually changes everything if I'll let it. This revelation, this realization of the way that we can interact with God that He's actually on board with, this can really change our life. I like having friends. I mean, who doesn't? I like the richness of friendship. I like the fun little, you know, inside jokes and the moments. And I love friendship. And to think about a friend who's there even when it's dark and you're alone out on a walk, you're going to bed, you wake up in the morning, you're, you know, at the dentist waiting for the appointment. A friend who's there all the time. This is even cooler than whatever best friends we're in pursuit of in this life. This is infinitely better. So I just want to give us Jesus' invitation to friendship. And you know what's funny about the reason I call it an invitation is because it's an invitation, not a mandate. Invitation to friendship, because friendship is two-way. And so you look here, and it's like Jesus is making this invitation, and I want you to be honest with yourself today. Not so that you can beat yourself up, but so that maybe you could make a little bit of course correction. Jesus has offered you friendship. Have you said yes? And have you responded back to Jesus with friendship? Or are you just a servant? Are you just a saved son or daughter? Are you just a pick of whatever all other awesome thing that you are? Jesus has made an invitation to you for friendship. Have you said yes to friendship and offered friendship back? And if you're like, I don't even know that I ever thought about that before, well, start thinking about it. This can change your life. This can really shift your life. So I'll just read you John 15, 15. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. I call you friends. That what a profound thing. I mean, think about how this looked when Jesus said it in the context that he said it to the guys that he said it to. All right? There's 12 dudes, all right? All of them have got some issues in their life, okay? They're young guys, and they're wandering around with Jesus, and they've understood that's the Messiah, and we are disciples. We're learning. We're following after the Messiah, and we're kind of learning what his kingdom's about. And then in the middle of that, he looks at him. He gives him this really big, warm smile. And he says, did you guys know you're my friends too? And they kind of get a little white in the face, and kind of their insides are trembling a little. They kind of look at each other, and then the sheepish grin hits their faces. They're like, we're friends with God. We're friends with the Messiah who came to change everything. We are friends with the one that just walked on water. We are friends with this guy. Did you see him heal the sick and, you know, raise it? He said, he looked at us, he said, you're not just my servants. I want you to know you're my friends. Now, I don't know about you, but man, elementary was a little rough for a wild extrovert such as myself. Sometimes my offer for friendship came a little loud and was not always fully received. But it's a tough thing when you're offering friendship and it's like it's genuine. Offering friendship and it's not received. Or they're like, yeah, thanks. But there's not that genuine response of friendship back. I think Jesus has made this offer to us, and maybe it's because we just couldn't believe it could be true. I think that's probably mostly what's gone on. I think if we're not genuinely responding with friendship back to Jesus, I think that probably the default culprit isn't that we're horrible people. We're working on that. I think the default culprit is probably, I just couldn't believe he was serious. I mean, it's God. How could God want to be my friend? How does that even work? He's not even like here. Like, what does friendship with God look like? I think that it's probably mostly that. Splash in a good bit of busyness. Splash in a little bit of self-prioritization and maybe not really wanting to do things his way. But I just want us to understand, we have been given the wildest invitation imaginable. You know, he's more real than you. He's more real. He's realer. So just because you can't see him doesn't mean he's not real. He's really, really, really real. There's, you know, a couple billion angels or so that are all right now singing about how real he is. How many angels are singing about how real you are right now? Yeah, so anyway, so Jesus is more real than you. But we're so used to the way that this looks. We're so used to our interactions and that which I see with my eyes, I can identify as real. And that which I cannot see with my eyes, I just somehow I have this wrong notion that it's like, it's not quite real. It's not really real. It's like secondarily real. Jesus is more real than you, me, the earth, the sky, air, life. He's really, really real. And he's really made an invitation. So now imagine him for a second. 5'8" Jewish man. He's always 5'8" in my book. Not just because I'm 5'8". I don't want a taller Jesus than me. I don't know. He can be as tall as he wants. But imagine, you know, not so tall Jewish man comes into the room. Okay? He walks in. And he's looking around. And people are eventually are kind of like, what's he looking at? He's looking for you. And somebody goes up and says, "Hey, what are you looking for?" Well, I was looking for you. Why? Because I want to be your friend. Now, just go with me for a moment. If that happened, wouldn't you pause the afternoon plans? Like, wouldn't you, oh, you know, I've got a lunch. It's like, I'm sorry, Jesus. I know you want to be friends and all. I've got a lunch. You got a lunch? It's God. What are you talking about? You got a lunch. Like, why don't you clear the schedule? Nobody would have to be told to clear the schedule. We would look at that and go, okay, what do we do now? And he's like, well, what do you do with your friends? Well, we talk and hang out. Okay, let's do that. Like, that would make so much sense to us. We could get that concretely, and we would respond probably appropriately. But for some reason, just because he's invisible on this side, because he's not physically here, he's not an invisible person, he's just not here on this planet. Jesus in physical form is in heaven. He's a resurrected man in heaven. He's the only one there with a resurrected body. But he's really real. He just isn't here, but he actually can communicate with us in a way that, in my opinion, is better than his physical form. Because you know what? If Jesus walked into that door, he could only go out to lunch with a handful of us. I mean, the restaurant's only got so many seats. And not only that, eventually that conversation's going to have to end and we're going to have to go on and do other things. We're going to have other activities. You're going to have to go to work. And when you go to work, you couldn't bring 5'8" Jewish men with you to work. And while you were there, if you did manage to sneak him in and your boss allowed it for the moment, you couldn't just sit there and like chat it up with Jesus and not do your job. Your boss would like kindly give you a pink slip and help you on your way. But the way that Jesus came up with this scenario is that invitation is just as real. But now because he communicates to us through prayer in our inner being, we feel his presence, we speak to him, we hear his voice. John 15 says we hear his voice. John 10, we're sheep following him, that we hear his voice. Because of that, this is actually an infinitely better deal for us than even if we got to walk around with Jesus in physical form. Think about that for a second. I mean, when the disciples were with Jesus, there were times where he'd be like, okay, go run an errand for me. And he'd have to leave him. And now they're not with Jesus anymore. They left. There are nights where it's like, oh, hey, you guys go spend the night over there and I'll meet you tomorrow. For 24 hours, they're not with Jesus. But in this reality, we get to have friendship with Jesus, and it's not like that. We have access to him 24/7, and the invitation is real. I'm going to give you Job 29, verse 4. First time I saw this verse, I was just struck by what's being communicated here. This is Job. He says, oh, for the days when I was in my prime, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house. I just want you to think about that for a second. This is Job. This is before incarnate Jesus on the earth. This is Job with a revelation that God can be friends with a human, not just philosophically, experientially. Job's remembering. Job's like, oh, I remember not when God's glory rested on my house, not when God's favor blessed me in my finances. Those would be true too. He says, when God's intimate friendship blessed my house. What was going on in Job's living room with Job and Jehovah? And he's remembering back. Intimate friendship. Guys, if this is available, I want it. I don't want to live any other way. I don't want you to live any other way. This is better than everything. This is better than lottery winnings or right circumstances or promotions or good neighbors. This is everything. If it's true that God would offer us not just on the friendship, he would offer us friendship, intimate friendship. I mean, the very fact that there's a word before friendship means that there's ways that friendship could look that's different. Intimate friendship, deep friendship, you know, experiential friendship, add a word. I mean, that the Lord actually wants to encounter us and have deep friendship with us. This is, how can this possibly be real? This is so different than being saved. Like, I'm a saved person. What does that even mean? We were called to be in relationship with God, which required we give our life to Him and thus be saved. But your life isn't that you got saved. That's the door into the kingdom. Don't camp out in the door. Come through that door. Come on in. Don't camp out in the door of you were saved. I'm glad you were saved. But the point wasn't that you were saved. The point was the entire kingdom of God that's through that door. Come on in. You were saved for relationship. You were saved, dare I say it, for intimate friendship with God. But it's not a default. See, that's the part that's just crazy. How many people go through their entire Christian life? They make it, you know, days, weeks, months, decades, however long they got. They show up before the throne, and the Lord says, hey, friend, I'm so glad you're here. And they're like, I don't even know how to relate to you as a friend. We never really did that while we were on earth. And the Lord's like, I was trying to do that. My hand was extended. I was after friendship. I made it clear. I am offering this to you. It's real. It's as real as you want it to be. Don't be too busy for this. And don't let the enemy rob you of this truth. God wants to have friendship with you. He created you on purpose. He didn't have to do that. He created you. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. You were created by God. You're on the planet. God actually wants a relationship with you. And every person that He doesn't have a relationship with, and then not just surface, but depth of friendship, there's an aching desire in the heart of God for intimate friendship with you. He can't get that friendship with somebody else. We all know what it's like to have different friends, and each friend, our relationship with them looks a little bit different. This one's the funny one. This one's the serious one. You know, this one, the one that always gets me out of trouble. And we got those different friendships. The Lord is looking at you the same way you're looking at all them. The uniqueness of those friendships, it's going to be different. Your friendship with Him is invaluable and irreplaceable. There's no other person that can give God your friendship. And you're a different person than the other person. Think about your friends. Think of any group of 3, 4, 5 of them and the unique friendship that you have because their personality is different, their temperament, the way they live, the choices that they've made, the years of history that you've got, the newness, freshness of the relationship. Think about each one of those friendships. You are one of those friendships to God, but right now it's possible that it's underdeveloped. It's possible that that's not really been a focal point. You've been trying to, like, live your Christian life. I'll just tell you this. Relationship shifts stuff. My relationship with my wife, there's stuff that's deeply important to me because it's important to her. And there's stuff that it's like, I don't do it or not do it because she told me to. I do it or not do it because I love her. Because I've got this relationship. Friendship is an incredible safeguard for your sanctification. If you're friends with God, you'll do less dumb stuff. If you're friends with God, you will long for righteousness. The word actually says you're my friends if you obey what I command. I mean, you will long for, I think maybe we've got a wrong perspective. Like, I'm trying to stop doing this, stop doing, why give all the attention to that? Why not instead run after Jesus, be transformed by Him, and then have grace to walk out of some of those things? God is really serious about this relationship. I mean, I want you to think about this. The John 3:16 promise, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God liked people so much that He sent His Son in order to be able to get us back into relationship with Him. It's not like God was like, oh, those sinners, they messed it all up. Now what are we going to do? He went, my family, my friends. friends. They're now distant from me. They're out of sync with me. What am I going to do to fix that problem? I have got to find a way to resolve this, the gap, because I want them. I like people. I so like people. I'm going to fix the gap. Even to the point of sending my own son to death on a cross for sins he didn't commit. I'm going to fix this problem because I so like people. God is really committed to this thing. I just think about it for a second. Just kind of ask yourself the question. Do I spend much time at all thinking about how much God wants to be my friend? Not about how much time you want to, how much you want to be God's friend. We'll get there. That's a natural byproduct. Do you spend much time thinking about how much God wants to be your friend? How far out of his way he went to get friendship with you? Do you spend any time thinking about that? It's not a condemnation point. I'm just like, you can think about this. If your answer is, I think about it a little, think about it a lot. If it's, I think about it a lot, think about it a double lot, and then come teach me how. Like, this is a really big deal. This changes everything. If God wants to be my friend, what else matters? I had a bad day. God wants to be your friend. God, you, have you met you? God wants, he likes you. He wants to be your friend. Yeah, but they didn't pay me enough. They didn't pay? What conversation? What planet are you on, man? Your life can be about friendship with God, and then who cares what happens in your life? This was actually the point, because your circumstances aren't promised. You might have some good times, you might have some bad times, a mixture of the two, but you can grow in friendship with God every season. And I think that's really the point. This invitation that's been offered to us, it's outside of circumstance. This is the best deal. This revelation, in my opinion, it changes the conversation of our life. It changes everything. There's so much that doesn't matter anymore because God wants to be my friend and he's really serious about it. I'm blown away by that reality. All right, well, let's talk about this friendship. Now, one of the fun things that gets to happen in a young adult church is young adults find each other, and they start dating, and then they pop a question. Hopefully she says yes. And they wind up getting hitched. And one of the fun things that has just, it's every time I get to do a wedding, every time, there's one element that's always the same. It's the locker room. What's the locker room? That's what I call the back room where the guys are getting ready for the groomsmen are getting prepared. Because back there, man, it's a fraternity. There's all the wheels are off. There's some things that should not be repeated that occur back in that locker room, all right? Because here's how it goes, all right? The groom, and I don't know what goes on in the bride's quarters. I don't go back there. I don't even want to know, okay? So if it's weirder, preach your own sermon, okay? But here's what happens in the guys, okay? Same story every time. You got 3, 4, 5, 10 guys, okay? They flew and drove from all across the country. They are there for their boys' big day. They're there, okay? And a lot of them are meeting each other because it's when the groomsmen, when the groom is thinking, who's my best man? Who are my groomsmen? He's thinking, who are the dudes that have been with me? I mean, in the seasons of life and maybe childhood and goes college years and in recent years, and they're looking for the ones that are like, oh, they're tight, they're close in relationship. And they all come together, and all of them drop, you know, life to come. I mean, they drop money on the plane ticket. They, you know, get the tux or whatever, you know, whatever it is that they're wearing that day. I mean, they spend some money. They spend some time and energy. They're coming into town a little bit early, bachelor party, you know, all that stuff, okay? And they're back in the locker room, and the groom is getting ready. He's, you know, starting to look good. And the groomsmen are popping him with their ties. I mean, it's like a locker back there. It's like there's not all clothing is being worn at all the times. It's just, it's a real interesting scenario. And they're cracking jokes and they're laughing there. And because some of them are meeting each other, they're telling on the groom. And they're saying, oh, you remember this? Oh, dude, you were sick. And they're just laying it all out. And I'm just like, la, 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 not listening. But I'm back there and I'm hearing little pieces of it. And it is just the funnest thing ever. I'm going to read this verse to you, and I don't want to talk about fasting. I want to talk about Jesus' communication about relationship and how he sees us. Matthew 9:15, and Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." Jesus could pick any relational scenario under the sun. He says, "Let me tell you how I see you, the people that are following me, my disciples. You're the friends of the bridegroom. You're the groomsmen on the big day. You're the ones I've invited. You got the most special invitation of all. Many are invited to the wedding. There will be many in attendance at the wedding. There's only a handful of groomsmen that are up there on the stage with him the day of. In the moment when she's coming and the big wow moment, he says, I'm going to pick my favorite dudes on the planet. I want them up there with me, waiting, right there with me, sharing this moment from the most intimate perspective, in the most incredible way. I want them standing with me." And Jesus, defining the relationship that he wants to have with us, he doesn't call it friendship. He says, "I want you to be like my groomsmen on my big day." That's the way he feels about you. This is how he throws out the invitation. This is how he makes it so plain. He says, "I really want that kind of relationship with you. You guys are the friends of the bridegroom. You're the groomsmen on the big day. You're the ones that I've invited. You've got a special place in my heart. You got a special place in my life." Man, don't turn down that invitation. Because of shame? Because of busyness? This is life. This can be your life. Right now, if you were just to be honest and write down on a piece of paper 3 to 5 words that describe your life, you're like, "Man, messed up, jacked up, trashed." I don't know what words you'd use. Hopefully they're better than that. But if you were to write down on a piece of paper just a few words to describe your life, it doesn't have to be that. This can be your life. You can be living for this. You can make this your entire existence and still have relationships and still go to work and still this and that. You could actually make this what you're living for. What if you shifted what you're living for and you started living for friendship with God? This is what he's after. To me, it's so different when he makes an invitation and I'm unsure of his motives. His motives are always good. It's so different when an invitation is made versus a deep desire that could be met or could be rejected. You could say it this way. Jesus is saying, "I deeply desire real, intimate friendship with you. Will you give it to me?" Now, of course, if any of us, you know, have been in church at all, we know the answer is yes. But saying yes and living yes are very different. And remember, relationship's all about communication. Relationship's all about prayer in this particular scenario. So when Jesus makes the invitation, "I want deep friendship with you," that is a way you could live your life and you could posture yourself. And of course we would say yes, but doing yes looks different than saying yes. Skipping down in the notes a little bit, Cherish. I want to address some wrong thinking. We're told so many lies. Our own soul accuses, the enemy, even sometimes our friends. We're told lies all the time about who we are, about who God is, about how God feels. I want the Word of God to rewrite the code. I want to know what the word says and believe it. And then when accusation comes or whatever, I want to re-plumbline myself to what the word says. I want to make this real from the word that you can have friendship with God. Let's look at this. James 2:23. Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called God's friend. Now, Abraham in so many ways is the model of what we're reaching for in a life in God. Having faith, walking in righteousness, friendship. I mean, this goes all the way back. This is foundational, like, Christianity all the way back to Abraham. That he was called the friend of God. That's a big deal. John 3, the friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine. This is John now. Remember, we're also told about John in the New Testament. There's no one greater than John the Baptist. It says, but all of those that are now part of the kingdom of God, the New Testament order of things, relationship with God, they'll actually be even greater. This is another one of those model points. Old Testament, Abraham. New Testament, John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said it this way. He said, I'm the friend that attends the bridegroom. It's the same concept we were looking at a minute ago. He says, and my joy is complete in that position. When I get to hear his voice, when I get to fellowship with him, when I get to be around him, you can have this. This is New Testament Christianity. You weren't created to be just a rule follower, a building attender, an online transaction maker, tithing. You were created for friendship. If your life is boring, you're doing this wrong. If you're like mostly sad or mad, you don't see this. You don't see the opportunity that has been put before you by a passionate, wholehearted, calculated person. God, in great calculation, he sees you and he says, I want friendship with you. And actually, I'm desiring it. I don't want anything else. I want friendship with you. That is incredible. Just got a few more verses that are just kind of stirring me. John 1:17-18. Think about what's being communicated here. And I don't know, maybe it's like my only child syndrome or something. I don't know what it is. All I see is a dare. That's all I see. I can't read this verse and think anything but a dare. That's all I got. Grace and truth come through Jesus Christ, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father and has made him known. Why in the world does John try to provoke me and dare me to be in second closest relationship with God? Because that's all I hear. Why in the world does John make a hierarchical system of friendship to God? Why does John go, you got God, who's in closest relationship with God? Jesus, who's next? All I see is a dare. All I see is an invitation. It's this provoking of, oh my gosh, this could really be my life. My life could be about reaching to be number two. Now, no one would know or care on planet Earth. But I just think about God from God's perspective. Think about this with me for a second. What if, because God eagerly desires friendship with us, what if he actually wanted a little bit of that attitude from us on earth? I will do anything I must to be in deep, deep friendship with God. What if that's supposed to be one of the provoking points in this life? I don't want to get up there and just say, I did it. I did the job. I want to know God. You can know God. You're not part of a religion. This isn't a religion. This is human life. And God created the entire structure of human life for you to be invited into friendship with him and then say, now how much do you want? Do you want a little? You can have that. I don't know why you'd want that. Do you want a lot? Good, that's a starting point. God is just like eagerly looking for friendship. I was debating on whether to share this, but I think I'm hopeful that it will accomplish the purpose, and that is to provoke you, to give you something to go, man, if God did that for Brad, maybe he'd do that for me, and press in. This is a subject that it matters to me. I really care about this one. I really, really do. And this was some years ago. This was before we had kids. And I just was really taken by a few of these verses. I call you friends, the friends of the bridegroom, just all that, all this language. And I decided, you know what? I'm going to take a day off of work. This is how we had the prayer room. And I said, you know, instead of being at the prayer room where people can find me, I'm going to just stay at home all day. It was a time period where Amy was working. We didn't have any kids. And I said, I'm going to spend the whole day pacing back and forth for 8 hours saying, God, I want to be your friend. Help me be your friend. All I want is to be your friend. Help me be your friend. Maybe a couple other variants, but that's it. We're going to talk all day about friendship. And if you give me something more to say, I'll say it. But otherwise, I'm going to stay lock focused. I have one objective. I'm going to take a day off of work. I'm going to pace back and forth. Wasn't enough room. My goodness. I'm going to pace back and forth between the kitchen and the little office area. Just kitchen and the little office area. Back and forth. All day, I'm committed, and I did it. I did it for 8 hours. You know, I used the restroom if I needed to. Took a drink of water. But the whole 8 hours. God, I want to be your friend. Help me be your friend. That's all I want. Just show me how to do it. I want to be your friend. I want to be your friend. And that night, Amy and I had already planned we were going to go out to dinner. And we were going to go to our favorite restaurants way far away in the city. And we went. And after dinner, you know, it was great. And we had a little bit of time because we had the babysitter whatever till whatever time. And I said, hey, you want to swing by Upper Room? And this was at their original location. And I asked her, and she said, yeah, because it was kind of on our way back from where we were coming from. And Upper Room, you know, was doing a few prayer meetings at that time. This is like 10 or 12 years ago. And we step in, and they were having a prayer meeting. And Michael Miller, the pastor, he sees me walk in, and we're buddies. And he goes, oh, Brad, come over, Brad. Oh, this is your wife. Cool, let's meet, you know, your wife. And there were a handful of them. I don't know, maybe 8 of them or something. And they go, listen, can we pray for you right now? And I said, well, yeah, I mean, cool. We just thought we were going to come into the prayer meeting, kind of sit in the back, you know, stay for 20 minutes and then leave. That's kind of what we thought. And they walk over, and man, them Upper Room crowd, they're rowdy. And they start praying. And the very first thing, this dude goes, hey, I just got a word for you. I just heard the Lord say, this is my friend. Tell him he's my friend. I was like, dude, you just can't know what just happened there. Because it's real. And you can have it too. But you don't have it just because you're born. It's not free. It's time. It's conversation. You can have it. Heaven could say about you and not be lying, look at that one. Friend of God. But it's not free. And it's not default. And it is the best. It's the best way to live. It's the best way to live. Where the conversation of friendship with God is the big one in your life and in your heart. Conversation you're having all the time. Proverbs 8:17, Jeremiah 29:13, and James 4:8. They all say the same thing. I skipped down a little in the notes. Relationships. Relationships take work. This is the best. This is the best invitation. Your life doesn't get any better than friendship with God. It's incredible. But it does take work. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to just seek him. How much more? Those who seek me find me. You will seek me and find me when we seek me with all my heart, with all your heart. You will. Well, I don't really have time to give him all my heart. Well, then you won't find him. I don't really know what it looks like to give him all my heart. Go on the journey and you'll figure it out. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. What does it look like to draw near? I don't know what to do. Listen, it's really not that mysterious. You just got to slow down and you got to give him some time. And however much time you're giving him, maybe you need to give him more. To cultivate friendship, start talking to him about friendship. I'll say it this way as I close out. Worship team, you can come on up. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, I think, was really trying to help us. I think this passage was really trying to help us. This is Paul. He says it this way. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I think that's the key. What if we pray continually? In as much as we're able before we fall asleep at night. What if we talk to God all day, instead of it being a mealtime thing, a crisis moment thing? What if, like he was 5'8" walking around with you at work? Like he sat down at the table with you? Like he was with you in the moments and in the pain and the pinch and all the promotion, all the opportunities? What if we were talking to him all day? Did you see that guy, Jesus? He's crazy. Oh, Lord, are you in this traffic with me? Oh, that was so kind that they did that. Did you know this is in the Bible, Jesus? I'll be darned, I had no idea that was in there. Because isn't that a friend? You just invite him in. I'm telling you something. If you'll give your life to this, your life will change.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.